Praise God. All right, let's get started. So as you can see, the title of today's class is Prepare for the End Times. So I was just asking God, you know, what do you want us to talk about? And he really wants us to focus on the fact that we have to prepare for what's coming. When we say end times, what comes to your mind? Anybody here want to volunteer? What comes to your mind when we say end times?
Revelation.
Revelation, the book of Revelation.
Persecution.
What comes to your mind, Michael? Jesus is coming soon.
Preparation.
The second coming of Christ. So when we say this, Jesus is coming back, you think Jesus is coming back. That's good. The Antichrist. Yes. What is it?
Peace and salvation.
Peace and salvation. Very good. So, Eliel is very, he's like, I'm okay. Everything's good. Praise God. Yeah, that is exactly what we should be thinking. But there is something that we have to do before all of this stuff comes that we know is going to happen. The return of Jesus Christ and all this stuff. We have to prepare. And there's two questions I want to ask you. Why do you think we have to prepare for Jesus coming back? I mean, isn't he just going to come back? Why do you think we have to prepare, Michael?
Because he's going to take with him the ones who have been faithful.
He's going to take with him those who have been faithful. Why else do we have to prepare? What do you think?
Well, because there's going to be a lot of persecution, scary things that if we don't prepare now, then it comes, it's going to be like, you know, too overwhelming, and we could fall if we didn't prepare beforehand.
Exactly. Another thing can happen, you can deny Christ in the middle of the persecution or the calamities and things that are going to happen. And we don't want that to happen. Because that is really, ultimately, this is about getting to heaven, making it to the end, to be with the Lord. It's not about the tribulation. It's about getting, you know, persevering to the end. So if you're not ready, you could live your whole life here in church and then walk away from the Lord and deny him, freak out, take the mark of the beast. We're going to talk about those things right before Jesus comes back, which is what the devil wants. And we don't want that. So we're going to ask our brother, Ezekiel, to come up. He's going to share with you a little like a vision he had and some words that God gave him, which really tie into what we're talking about here today. Before we get started, we're getting into the scriptures and stuff. But before he comes up, while he's coming up, I forgot there was another question. Remember I said we have two questions. Now here's the second question. How do we prepare for all this stuff that we just talked about?
Prayer.
Mark. Fasting.
Reading the Bible.
Making sure your heart is right with God.
Filtering out our spirit so that we can be like pure, like the spirit is being.
Be spiritual. Purity in our heart. Absolutely. Shotguns, yes. No, I'm just kidding, no. Lots of granola in the basement. Okay, so you can't, no, just kidding. Yes, that might be a good idea or a really bad idea. It's a bunch of hungry hicks out there. Hopefully she has a bulletproof vest under that. Yes. So preparation, fasting, prayer for these purposes so that we can persevere, so we can stay pure, so we can seek God and keep our eyes and our heart close to God. Let's hear what our brother Ezekiel has received from God.
Actually, this came up because I asked Steve last weekend, I believe, and also today about praying for me because I wanted to understand something better that God showed me before. And today while I was talking to him, he said, hey, would you mind sharing this with the youth? I wasn't really planning to share it with you guys, at least not yet, because I've been praying to God to give me more understanding and really to clear my thoughts about what he's trying to tell me. The vision that I had, actually, it was I saw like two armies, and I'm gonna have a hard time explaining it in English, but I'm gonna try anyway. I saw like an army, and I saw like many animals like together, but they were like not like normal animals that we see every day, but they were like more like demons, like they were deformed and ugly, and they were like very angry. And I saw them in one side, like standing in one side, and there were like many of them, and they seemed to be very angry. And in my vision, I could feel that they were powerful, and they were very angry, and they were getting ready to attack. And on the other side, I saw another army, which was us, and it was God's children. And when I saw that, I got scared, and I was like, God, help us, because they're going to destroy us. I mean, because I could feel that we are not strong enough to face those things. And so while I was praying and asking God to have mercy upon all of us, I saw God coming down, and he stood between them and us. I mean, I didn't see God, his face or whatnot, but I knew that it was God himself who came down. And when he came down, he opened his wings, and his wings were like long, and he stretched it like from one side to the other side, and all his children were behind him. And so when he came down, he made me understand, if you stay behind me, you will be fine. Nothing is going to happen to you.
Close to.
And while I was seeing everything that was getting ready to attack us, he kind of like helped me to understand what he really meant. He's like, if you get closer to me, if you cling to me, if you look for me, if you believe. Try to have a closer relationship with me and to believe, like you're saying, in me, I will fight the battle for you. You don't really have to face the other army or the evil army. The only thing that you have to do is to seek me, to look for me, to have a very close relationship with me. And if you do it, you will be fine, because I will fight for you and I will overcome everything. That's what God gave me. And then that was the vision. And then a couple of days later, I received some words. And the words that I received was like the final, let me think in Spanish, and then let me think how to translate it. The final battle for your soul is coming closer. That's what I received from God. And that really kind of shook me. And that's when I decided to ask also him, Steve, to pray for me and to ask God to help me to understand better what he's trying to tell me. And so, but I think that was something that is powerful, and I would say it can shake my life. I would say when we think that is something real, I mean, the final battle for our souls is coming. It's nothing to take it lightly. It's something that we have to take seriously. We don't know when it's going to happen. I mean, it might be because the persecution is coming. It might be because maybe we may die soon. I mean, it might be because, I don't know, something may happen. I don't know what it is, and that's what I've been praying to God to help me to understand, and also to have mercy upon all of us, to come closer to him. But that is something that I just think is very important, at least for my life. And Steve thought that it was something that could help any of you or all of you. May God receive the honor and glory.
Amen. Praise God. Pretty powerful, huh? The final battle for your soul is drawing near, is what God told him. And it really is. And it has to do with the fact that Jesus is coming soon. This is the enemy's last chance. He's going to throw everything he can at us. But if it's not us facing the enemy, but God, we can win. But you have to be with God. You have to be close to God. And something he said is really critical. He didn't say, you have to fight against the enemy. You have to be strong against the enemy. No, no, no. Just focus on believing in me, staying close to me, seeking me every day, you know, with all of your heart, looking for me. And then I will take care of all of that. And that's really what it comes down to. You don't have to fight those battles. God will fight them, but you have to get close to God. Just seek God. Every morning, spend time with God. Look for God every day. Come to church as often as you can. You need to be looking for God. You need to be praying. You need to be reading the Word of God every day. We talked about this last Saturday. God put it in my heart. You guys need to read the Bible every day, at least one chapter. You know, I'm just reading one chapter a day these days. I pray. I spend like most of my time praying. And then I read like one, maybe two chapters a day. And I get so much out of it. And God speaks to me. But I need it. If I don't have that, I'm missing something. It's like I went out to fight that day, you know, because every day is a battle. And I left my knife or my sword. Oh, I got here in the middle of the war. And the enemy's coming at me. And I go like this. And I'm like, oh snap, where's that? You know what you got to do? Turn around and run. Because you don't got nothing. What are you going to do? Sit there and just take the hits? That's a lot of times what we're doing. And we're missing that one key, maybe that one little thing that God wanted to tell you through his word. That one word. That one encouragement or that one rebuke, that one direction. And you missed it because you didn't read the Bible or you didn't take it seriously. So we have to realize this is very serious. Like he said, this is the final battle for our soul is drawing near. And this is it. If we could make it, think about it. If we could just make it past this one thing, you can overcome. It helps you a lot of times when you're going through something difficult to think, okay, number one, God knows what's happening to me. It's not like he doesn't know. It's like happening in a corner, hidden away from him, and I might just die from this, and he will not even care. No, no. He knew it was coming. When it came, he's there with you, and he's with you in the middle of it, and he knows, and he's right there with you. And number two, it's good to think that God not only knew it was coming and that he's with you, but that it's part of his plan. It's part of his plan for you to face this. It's part of his plan for you to fight this, to struggle like this, and to face this so that you can overcome it. It's like saying, look, if you can't, you know, wrap your mind around facing this on your own and fighting this on your own, at least do it for me, says God. Do it for me. Do it as if it were for me, a personal favor. Will you please fight this fight for me? Because I want you to. Because I know it's something good for you. It's a plan I have. If you will fight, I will bring something awesome out of it. And we have to have that mentality. It really helps us to know God is with us. And he's in this. And he has a purpose in this. It really takes a lot of that. A lot of times, when I don't have that mentality, I get super like overwhelmed with what's going on, or the struggles, or the battles, or the trials, temptations. Like I get overwhelmed. I want to run away and hide and just not deal with it. But then I think, oh, wait, God's with me. God loves me. He knows this was coming. He's with me in the middle of it, and it's part of his plan for me. And he wants me to face it, and he's going to help me if I face it. And it's going to work out awesome. Okay, God, okay, that gives me strength. Okay, I'm going to do this. I can do this. It's amazing. So we need to prepare in all these ways that we're talking about. So let's look at four things that are going to happen. So let's look at these, and I got verses for each. I just don't have space to put them up here. So let's look at this first one. It says, one of the main reasons we need to prepare is because the grace is ending. Now, we've heard about this a lot in our church. Mensaje del Espíritu Santo, messages of the Holy Spirit, mention it. There's a lot of different things we've heard about. The grace is ending. It's going to come to an end. Have y'all heard about this, or is it just me? Okay. So I looked into it to find some scriptural basis for it, and I couldn't find anything. There's nothing in the Bible that explicitly says that before Jesus comes at some point, the grace is going to end, and that's it. Nobody else can get saved, you know. There's nothing like that. But the Holy Spirit still is telling us these things. So I'm going to show you some verses which basically I think they really signify that you really need to use this opportunity you have to prepare to get right with God. Because there's coming a time where it's going to be a lot more difficult to be saved. And let's look at a couple of scriptures to talk about this. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to read basically two selections. This first one is Romans 11. So everybody turn to Romans 11. 24 to 31. Who would like to read?
The source of the word of God. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert graft contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree?
All right, before he continues, he's talking about the Jewish people. That they were broken off their own tree so that we, which were from another tree, could be grafted in. You know, gardeners do that. For example, I want to grow peaches. So there's one type of peach tree which produces really good big peaches. But that tree has a problem that the root and the stump, and this happens a lot, the trunk, it breaks easy or it rots easy. So what they do is they say, okay, I'm going to find a tree that has really strong roots and trunk, but really bad peaches, and I'm going to break all the branches off of it and get the branches of this tree that produces really good fruit but has a weak trunk, and I'm going to break the branches off of that one and graft it. And literally, they do this. They stick the branches from the other tree into the trunk of this tree, and now they've got a tree that has the best of both worlds. It has a great root system, has a strong trunk, and it produces awesome fruit because they mixed both. What it's saying here is that the Jews were cut off of their tree. You know, they rejected the Messiah, they rejected God. So in a way, they were broken off, not permanently, but in a way, temporarily. They were broken off so that we could have an opportunity. And God put us, the Gentiles, into the tree. So continue.
For if I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become it.
All right, so notice he's saying that this whole thing about the tree and the branches being broken off means that blindness, they were blinded. So you mean for 2,000 years the Jews have not been able to see that Jesus, or the way they say it, Yeshua, is their Messiah. They can't see it because they're blinded. It's like a spiritual blindness. But the reason why they're blinded is so that we could see. So if they hadn't been blinded, we couldn't have had the opportunity. There's some law in the spirit realm that required that to happen. So he's saying that this is about to change. God is going to start to give them back their sight, which means what? The Gentiles are going to start losing their sight, and we're going to look into that. So let's read in the next two verses. Verse 26 and 27.
And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall return away, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sin.
We see clearly God is going to do something with them again in the end times, turn back to them. And he's going to save who? He's going to save all Israel. All Israel shall be saved. Isn't that amazing? It's going to be incredible. All the grace he gave to us, he's going to give it to them. But remember, he gave it to us because he took it from them. So chances are he's going to take it from us to give it to them. You see what I mean? So this is not definitive, but this is really indicating something. Let's read the next two verses.
As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance.
Praise God. So he says, God gave them these gifts, these promises, these callings, and God doesn't repent of giving it to them. Temporarily, he may pull it away to give it to us, but he's not going to permanently take it away. He's going to give it back to them. So that's what it means. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. God doesn't repent of having called them. Last two verses.
For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience, even so these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown in you, they also may obtain mercy.
Amen. You see, just like we didn't believe God before, but because they rejected God, now we have a chance to believe, you know, we have more grace. Same thing's going to happen to them. In these end times, God is going to give them more grace to believe. But it's kind of understood, we're going to have less grace, the rest of the world. So there's coming a shift, and it's already happening. I just got this email from a guy that I support his ministry every once in a while, and I watch his show on TV. He's a Jew that got converted, and his main ministry is to Jews, to his own people. He's from an Orthodox Jewish family. He goes to Israel and tries to evangelize. But you have to understand, you can't just put up a sign in a Jewish neighborhood and say, come hear about Jesus. They'll like tear up your sign and burn your building down. So what he does, he says, come listen to a lecture on the supernatural. And like, ooh, supernatural, it's free. And so they all these Jewish people go. He used to be into the New Age movement, and he used to be doing all sorts of witchcraft type of stuff that the New Agers do. He would astral project. He was getting into all sorts of weird, crazy stuff where his soul leaves his, or spirit leaves his body, and he can travel. They do all this weird stuff. And so in the middle of that, the devil was getting a stronger and stronger hold on him, like, and destroying him and trying to kill him in one of those experiences. And he cried out to Jesus. Because a voice told him, cry out to Jesus. Cried out to Jesus, and the Lord shows up, and the enemy leaves, and he gets converted. You know, he has this awesome conversion experience. And he says his testimony, and he preaches to them, and then but before he preaches to them, he prays for the sick, but just out loud. Okay, in the name of Jesus, he healed people, and he's still alive today. He can heal you, so raise your hand if you're sick. And he prays for everybody, and then he says, okay, raise your hand if God healed you. You know, and hundreds of people got healed, just right there in the crowd, and then other people start hearing and start, they're like, whoa, what happened? I'm healed. What's going on? And then he does this whole preaches to them, and thousands are getting saved. And before, it was very difficult to get Jews to be saved, even in his meetings. And every year, it's like more and more and more. And this last meeting he had, 99% of the people, like 5,000 Jews, received Christ. And this is Jewish people in Israel. And a lot of these are atheists. A lot of these are people that are like nominal Jewish religious people, and they're receiving the Messiah. And this is unprecedented in history. And he sent this email out. He says, God is pouring out his spirit on Jewish people. This is the set time to favor Zion. Thousands of Jewish people are coming to faith in our lecture on the supernatural outreaches. And he has a video that you can actually watch him actually doing the lecture and see all the Jewish people. And over there in Israel, and it's crazy what God is doing because things are shifting. God is looking back to his people. So we have a very limited time because God is turning back to his people. Look what it says in 2 Thessalonians, if you want to look for that. 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 to 12. And this is five verses. So listen to what's going to happen in these end times when the Antichrist rises and all this stuff. Look what's going to happen. Let's hear. 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 to 12. So 2 Thessalonians is over there. All the books that start with a T are kind of together. That's the way I remember it. Like Timothy, Titus, Thessalonians, they're all together in the New Testament. It's kind of easy to find it that way. Huh?
Just before Timothy.
It's before Timothy. There you go.
So it says the word of God. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
You see, this wicked one that he's talking about is the Antichrist. He's going to come with an incredible spirit of deception and a seductive, deceptive, tricky spirit. I mean, people are going to be believing in this guy. Even though he's saying the biggest lie ever, he's going to be saying, I'm God, worship me. People are going to believe it. Why is he's going to have that spirit to do that, this deceiving spirit? And it says here, what he'll be doing, working with the power of Satan, signs and lying wonders. So miracles, healings, make rain when it's not raining, you know, make the clouds part, maybe opening the sea, food falling from heaven. He's going to be doing all sorts of stuff. He says fire is going to fall from heaven when he commands. He's going to have incredible power, like the prophets of old and like things you've never seen. Just amazing. And it's going to come in a critical moment in human history where all of humanity is in a turmoil and in this intense pressure from all the calamities that are happening. He's going to rise as a solution to all the problems with all this power, with this incredible deceptive spirit to trick people and all these miracles and signs. And people are going to be crying out, yes, we believe in you. And you just give me the mark, whatever, you know, we believe. But look what it says. They're going to be deceived because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So all the people who reject the truth, when this guy comes, it's not like they're going to be smart. Oh, wait, this guy's an idiot. How can he be God? You know? No. You're going to be deceived. Look what it says, even more than that. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Because they hated the truth and didn't want to believe in it, God's not going to say, oh, you're not going to have the privilege of just rejecting my truth and staying in neutral ground and saying, I don't believe in the Antichrist. I'm my own man. No, you rejected the truth, you're going to believe the lie. You are going to believe the lie because God is going to send a spirit of delusion himself to make sure that you believe in the Antichrist and that you go to hell. That's what it says here. That they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, who had pleasure in unrighteousness. So at the end, God's not going to be, you know, letting people ride the fence the way they are now. You're going to pick sides. And that's why it's so important to prepare, because the grace is going to be lifted. You see, all this plays into the whole idea of the grace being lifted. These people are not going to have grace anymore. The grace is going to be lifted and given back to his people, and everybody else is going to have to make a choice. Either you're for Christ and you're willing to die for him, or you believe in the Antichrist, and you will. And you will be damned. Praise God. Let's look at the second point here. The second reason why we need to prepare is calamity is striking. Let's read these two verses from Matthew 24, it's three verses. Matthew 24, 6 to 8. Whoever finds it first can read it.
I'll read it.
We'll let her read it. She hasn't read it. Okay, Josie, go ahead.
And And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows.
Praise God. So you see here, these things are going to be happening, the calamities. What's the first one he mentions there?
He shall hear wars.
And that's just the beginning, you know. And that's, we're seeing that already today all over the world with this whole Arab Spring and all this stuff. There's nation is rising against nation. I mean, what's happening over there in Syria right now is basically the beginning of World War III. We've got all the actors that the Bible says are going to come against Israel. They're all right there in Syria. We have Russia, Syria, Iran. It's like the stage is set. It's just, I believe World War III has already started. It just hasn't blown up. And then it says famines. That means there's little food. So why would there be little food? Historically, when there's a famine, why did it happen?
Economic crash.
Economic crash. What else? Brownies?
Drought.
Yes. I was thinking about brownies. Drought. Yeah, imagine if there's a drought, a prolonged drought in your country, it hasn't rained in a few years, you're going to have a famine. Because the ground is not producing anything, people are dying of hunger. Happens in Africa all the time. You've heard of those huge, you know, famines in Africa, kids dying and all that stuff. It's because it hasn't rained in forever. And whenever it does rain, it's like a ton of rain all at once and it washes all the crops out or washes out the soil, and it's like a nightmare in some of these places. So famines are going to be caused by, you know, climate change. Okay, but the Bible talks about climate change, not the one they're talking about, but it's real stuff that's going to be happening here at the end. What else does it say? Famines, pestilences. Think about Zika. That's a pestilence. It's just spreading all over the world. It's in Miami.
I forgot the name of the first one. That was
Ebola.
Ebola was just a scare. And it says that these things are going to be happening more and more. The swine flu thing. And these are just babies compared to the things that are coming. Zika is pretty scary, man. That thing's earthquakes. I mean, have y'all heard about earthquakes recently?
There was one in Oklahoma.
Constantly. And people tell you, oh, no, this has always been happening. It's just being reported more now. That's not true. Like, by the Geological Survey and by all the people that keep records, we're having more earthquakes than ever in history.
My brother, when he used to live in, I forgot what it's called, Joshua. He felt an earthquake over there,
it's crazy.
Dallas. There was something that happened, earthquakes, probably that shook.
Yeah, crazy stuff. Ebola causing earthquakes. These earthquakes are happening more and more. Think about the big earthquakes in Haiti, the one in Nepal. I mean, devastating earthquakes, killing lots of people, and they're happening all over the place constantly, way more than ever in history. And I just want you to read a couple verses here. Luke 21, 25 and 26 says, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity." That's what we're seeing now. The nations are distressed and perplexed because of everything that's happening. It's just too much with terrorism and all this stuff that's happening. It's just crazy. The sea and the waves roaring. These are tsunamis and all this stuff that's happening more than ever. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. All right, listen to these headlines. These are just articles that people have written, blogsters. Concern grows that a mega quake is going to hit the middle of the U.S. Did you know that Oklahoma was just hit by the largest earthquake ever recorded in the history of the state of Oklahoma? Do you know that Oklahoma absolutely shattered their yearly record for earthquakes in 2015 and may break it again this year, 2016? According to the U.S. Geological Survey, the number of significant earthquakes in the eastern and central sections of the nation has more than quintupled in recent years. And concern is growing that a huge megaquake is about to hit the middle of the country. That's just one article. Here's another one. This has been the worst 12 months for floods in U.S. history. Since last October, the United States has been hit by historic flood after historic flood, meaning historic flood is something that should happen only every couple hundred years, but it's happening like every couple months. Literally, there was a case where we had, you know, they call it a 500-year flood?
Yes.
A flood that's only supposed to happen every 500 years. We had like two 500-year floods within like a month of each other here in the South.
Breaking the record every single time.
I know it's kind of off topic, but just the other day I found out, well, I read on the internet that they found a hole in the sun, and then right after that, I found out that NASA cut their live stream off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of weird stuff going on with NASA.
There's people that would point out, oh, what was that moving? Cause
by the way, we're working.
And then just cut it off. Like every time they saw something move like that, they would just cut it off.
Because of the hole?
No, not the hole. Cause, like,
the other stuff.
The other stuff, like just floating around or moving around. Like
there is this idea that there's this huge, like another planet or something cutting through our solar system. And the Bible does talk about these sort of things. Some Christians believe that this is what caused like the first flood, because if a planet gets too close to us, the gravitational pull of that planet will completely move, like shift our planet and take it off of orbit. And our planet is not rotating smooth on its axis the way it should be. It's kind of tilted and wobbly. And all if you look under the oceans, everything is cracked. You see a globe with the ridges and all that, you see there's huge cracks under all the oceans. That's what the Bible says, that the fountains of the deep broke open and all this water came out. That's where the flood waters came from. And they say it could be because of this planet, which comes every few thousand years into orbit through our solar system, and it can have it. And they say it's coming back, and there's a whole conspiracy theory, which of course I believe. Huh?
I think it was
which planet?
Planet X.
Planet X, Nibiru. You can look up anything like that, and it'll come up. And you won't sleep for like a week. But anyways, let's continue. Here's another thing. Even before some areas of the state of Louisiana received more than 30 inches of rain, this was already the worst 12 months flooding in the U.S. Words like unprecedented, historic, are used to describe the flooding that's been happening. Like never before. Here's another article. Major volcanoes along the Ring of Fire are going off like firecrackers. The Ring of Fire is this huge area all around the Pacific Ocean. Volcanoes going off everywhere like never before. Here's another article. Last 10 months have been the worst period for floods and the worst period for fires in U.S. history.
Why can the floods take out the fire?
I know, right? Why can the floods? But when God is trying to tell us something, I mean, there's nothing you can do. The worst period for floods and fires in the history of the United States has been in the last 10 months. And it's not going to get any better. This is the end time. That's why we need to prepare. So, and there's more. We're going to stop at that. Yellowstone?
Is it going to blow up soon?
Good thing you mentioned that. Meanwhile, California fault lines and the area around Yellowstone are shaking like crazy.
How did I know this?
And so there's a bunch of earthquake activity, small level, going on around California, Yellowstone, which is really scary because there's a massive volcano under Yellowstone. So that could wipe out like half of the U.S. if it goes off. So those are just some headlines. Let's go back to our class. So these are things that are going to happen. Calamity is going to strike. That's why we need to be prepared. Praise God. Spiritually, if you had to prepare in any way, it would be spiritually. Physically, God will take care of you if you're prepared spiritually. If you're prepared spiritually, God will tell you, hey, move from where you are, move to this other city. And you move and then, you know, that city blows up or something. God will protect you if you're walking close to God. I mean, he's promised it.
Totally Philip teleport you.
Totally teleport you. He can. That's absolutely true. Third point. The third reason why we need to be preparing is the Antichrist is rising. Let's look at some verses. I'm going to pick a few people to read some verses. So who wants to read a verse? And I'll just tell you and you will read it. Could Josie read 1 John 4:3? Who wants to read another one?
I'll do.
Eliel, I think, said it first. 1 John 2:18. So 1 John is not the Gospel of John. 1 John is a little letter right before Revelation. So go to Revelation, the very last book. Go forward a little bit. That's 1 John 2:18. Matthew 24:24. Andy.
All right.
And then Michael. Michael, you're going to read the whole chapter of Psalm 119. Just kidding.
By memory.
I'm kidding. Michael, you're going to read 2 Thessalonians. Actually, let's just read those three. We'll read the 2 Thessalonians ones together.
This is the word of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and that is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world.
So you see, the spirit of Antichrist is not something that comes only when the Antichrist comes. It's rising. And even in the days of John, it was starting to rise. It's like a spirit that pervades countries, pervades societies, pervades religions. Okay, the spirit that denies that Christ has come in the flesh, setting the way for the Antichrist. Okay, let's read the next verse. Go ahead.
Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time.
Once again, it says that we know the Antichrist will come, but there's already a lot of Antichrists. It's the spirit that takes a hold of people and they start to preach this lie or saying that they're Jesus and all sorts of crazy stuff, which has been going on. Let's read that last one, Matthew 24:24. Go ahead.
This is the word of God. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect.
Wow. It says that he's going to try, through his signs and wonders, to deceive even the elect, which are the chosen people of God, if it were possible. That's another reason to be prepared.
Is he like testing out to see where their faith is at? With?
Yeah. The devil's definitely going to be trying to get you to believe the Antichrist and not Jesus. I mean, there's a lot of Christians that have no idea what's going on. They think they're going to be raptured before anything bad happens. I wish it's true, but I don't think that's what the Bible says. So they're going to be expecting Jesus to come before this guy shows up. So imagine if this guy shows up first. What's going to happen? At the very least, they're going to be extremely disappointed because of all the calamities and the things that are going to happen. They're not going to be prepared at all to face what's happening. You know, they weren't expecting this. It's like getting blindsided completely. And at worst case, they'll believe the guy and they'll fall for his lies, which would be the worst thing that could happen. So I'm going to read this one, which really talks a lot about the and I want you to look for it. 2 Thessalonians 2:3-7.
Okay.
Just say amen if you have it.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, go ahead.
So says the word of God. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Oh, it's a question. I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way.
Amen. Notice this. He's going to sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So he's going to be telling people, I'm God. And he's going to be sitting in the temple of God doing this. So that means that before the Antichrist shows up, there has to be a temple built in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. And right now, there is no temple. Right now, the mosque is there on the Temple Mount. But there's plans already to build a temple next to the mosque because there's enough room. And actually, a lot of rabbis are saying that the original temple was not where the mosque is. The original temple was a little bit further this way. So that's the plan. And the Old Testament prophets prophesied. Remember, it says, it was actually John. They told him to measure the temple. And they told him, don't measure the outer court because that would be trampled to the Gentiles. And that would be where the Al-Aqsa Mosque is if they built the temple today. So it's all being set up. And there's a thing called the Temple Institute, which is preparing everything for the temple. And it's already prepared. They've got all the priestly garments, the priestly instruments, all this stuff. They're preparing the priesthood, the Kohen, which are the priests from Levi. They're already naming them and training them. They're ready to go so that when the opportunity presents itself, they can build the temple like that in a moment. And it's all being prepared. Yes, Andy?
On YouTube, they have a virtual reality, like a 3D of the new temple. Like they already have it designed and how it's going to be.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
So it's design and everything, and they can build it off-site, and that's the plan. They're building it off-site, and the moment they have permission to build, they're not going to be building. They're just going to be bringing pieces, putting it there, and it's going to be built really fast. And so that's going to happen first, and then the Antichrist is going to sit or stand in there and say, I'm God at some point, you know. And these things are already coming to pass. Everything's being set up. So we have to be prepared because the Antichrist is coming. Let's look at what the Antichrist is going to do. Revelation 13. Everybody turn to Revelation 13. We are going to be reading this couple verses each person. So try to find Revelation 13. All right, so we'll start with Josie because she's on the far end. Danelli, you have the Bible too? And then we'll go with Danelli and then Lainey, and we'll go down this line. All right, so Revelation 13, verse 3-18. Everybody read two verses. All right, go ahead.
And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered if after the beast.
All right, let's pause there. This beast is like a world government. If you read the verses before, it's like the nations are represented by animals. And this beast is like the world government. It's going to be wounded, but it's going to come back better than ever. And the whole world is going to wonder after it. It's going to be seeking a world government. Okay? Continue.
And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?
Next person.
He was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. He was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in him.
So you see here, he was given power and he lasted 42 months. Who can tell me how long is 42 months? 42 months, 5 years? No. 42 months is 3.5 years, which all over the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, tells us that the Antichrist is going to reign for 3.5 years. Well, he's going to reign for 7 years, but for the first 3.5, he's going to be all peace and happiness and marshmallows and rainbows. And then the last 3.5 years, it's going to be the sword and killing and persecuting and I'm God. And okay, so that's kind of what he's talking about. He's going to have that power for 3.5 years. All right, let's continue. All right, who's 7 and 8? Lainey, go ahead.
And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kingdoms. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. His names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world.
So there it is again. Everybody's going to worship him. If you're not in the book of life, you're going to worship him. That's pretty crazy. It says all the nations of the earth.
Sorry,
go ahead.
So there's not really going to be any atheists in the devil. Everybody's worshiping someone.
Exactly. That's the plan of the devil. The devil is promoting atheism now because it's convenient. He's trying to pull you away from the real God. But once, you know, he's pulled enough people, then he's going to do what he's really wanting, everybody to worship him. He really doesn't want atheists. He wants people to worship him. But atheism is just convenient bridge from the true God to him, so he uses it.
Yeah, it's very slick, because atheists claim that there's no God because they can't see him. But once this Antichrist shows up, they can actually see him.
Wow.
They'll be like, okay, now I'm going
to it's going to be a powerful, powerful deception. who's next? So go ahead, verse 11 and 12.
And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed.
All right, so this, some people consider it to be the false prophet, because the Bible says there's going to be these two guys, the Antichrist and then the false prophet. False prophet is going to be like the religious leader. The Antichrist is going to be like the political leader. And they're both going to be telling everybody, worship this guy, worship the Antichrist, worship the Antichrist. It's like saying if the Pope stood up and told everybody, Obama is God, just worship him. That sounds eerily possible. But don't worry, we might not be that close. Yes, we are. So, anyways, that might be happening. Okay. No, I don't think Obama is the Antichrist. I think he's a wannabe. I don't think so. All right, who's next? Verse.
Great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in sight of men, and deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had wound by a sword and did live.
Amen. Eddie. All right, go ahead.
And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused it all, both great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand or in their foreheads.
Wow. He's killing everybody who doesn't worship the image of the beast. It sounds like persecution to me. And he makes everybody take the mark. And verse 17, 18, that's the last two verses.
And that no one may buy or sell except one who has a mark or the name of the beast, the number of all his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, or it is the number of a man, the number is 666.
666 is the number of the beast. Something has to do with that number, and you're not going to be able to buy or sell without that mark. To think about it, just maybe 50 years ago, if you told everybody there's going to be a one world currency, some sort of mark in your hand or in your forehead, you won't be able to buy with and sell with, it would laugh at you. Oh, that's so stupid. That's impossible. But now, you know, we do everything with our credit cards, which I don't have on me. It has a chip inside now. Have you noticed? They started putting chips in the credit cards. Why do you think they do that?
They want to put it in your hand.
They're all the technology is leading to this. Think about all the iPhone technology, all the fancy phones, all that stuff. What is it leading to? It's leading to integrating high technology, small and into you. So it's the technology is getting smaller and closer, smaller and closer and more powerful, smaller and closer and more powerful. Everything is leading that way. That's why these companies are so big and so powerful, because they're working with the Antichrist program to program everybody to get into the system. Technology, very small, very strong, very close to you. And it's gonna make its way down, 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 down until it's in your hand. And so you don't have to put your credit card in the little machine. Please remove your card. No, it's just gonna be swipe your hand. That's it, no problem, you don't lose the card. It's gonna have so many conveniences and everything's being set up. You see, all these things are being set up. It's not here yet, but it's so about to happen. It's crazy. Everything's in there. You might think, you know, Jesus might be coming in a long time, but when you start really looking at it, everything is in place. It's just been happening kind of underground, kind of, it looks really pretty, but it's all happening in the background.
When Nixon was president, he took us off of the gold system, the gold standard, so that made us lose value. The dollar lost its value. So much so, and it's slowly but surely, like you're saying, it's happening. Now China owns us.
Yeah.
We owe so much to China. That's why everything you see here is made in China.
You're Chinese, sir.
I was made in China. But now that he's saying that, it makes sense that this is going to come into play pretty soon because of the debt that we're in. And the dollar doesn't hold much value anymore. And the Chinese are like,
crazy.
Man, as soon as they say, hey man, you know, we've had enough.
Yeah. I was just hearing this guy, he's a financial planner. He works with like mutual funds and hedge funds. Like this is huge stuff. They work with billions of dollars, you know, managing money for billionaires and for billion-dollar companies and stuff. He was talking about the Chinese, their plan is, he's Korean, and he says the Chinese are not trying to make money. U.S., they only think about making money. And it's like a short term, 1 year. Oh, did I make a return this 1 year? Chinese are not thinking that way. They're thinking long term. They're thinking about controlling policy in the future. So the Chinese are spending all their time getting us in debt to them, buying all of the gold. They're buying gold constantly while we're getting rid of our gold. They're buying all of it. Why? Are they making money? No, they're losing money sometimes. But that's not the point. The point is to control policy in the future. They're going to have so much power over us in the future, and that's what they want. That's what they're working for. But those things are all coming. So Antichrist is rising. The last point we're going to be able to get to today, I think we're running out of time, is persecution is coming. Let's read Matthew 10, 16 to 28.
So says the word of God, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the council, and they will scourge you in their synagogues.
And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what ye shall speak.
For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death.
And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. When they persecute you in the city, flee ye unto another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come.
A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of his house chief above, how much will they call those of his household?
Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak you in light, and when you hear in the ear, that preach you upon the household. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear
Praise God. And who's that person that can destroy soul and body in hell?
Lord.
God. So we need to fear him, not men. So don't be afraid of men and the persecution and all that. So I just want to just mention two quick little facts about persecution in the last few years. 2015 was the worst year in history. Listen to that. The worst year in history for Christian persecution since statistics have been tracked. It's the worst year. A historical commission suggested that more Christians were killed for their faithfulness to Christ in the 20th century than in the previous 19 centuries before that. More Christians were killed in the last century than in the previous 19 centuries. So I think we're getting closer and closer to the end, according to what the Lord said. And I had a dream one time, and I think I told y'all, where there was this brother from like an Asian country here giving us like a little talk, and we were all watching. He was showing us pictures and telling us about all the persecution they were going through and how they were torturing them and killing them, and how they would say, not turning back. Like what the service was about this morning, that's what they would say. I'm not going back. What was the little phrase of the song? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. There you go. That's what they would say, no turning back, no turning back. And they would kill them and chop them and hurt them, but they would say no turning back in their language. And then the dream switched, and I was here in the U.S., and those people that were persecuting them over there were here. And they were persecuting me. And they caught me, and they stuck me in this bus with a bunch of us. It took us to prison. People were getting tortured and killed, and we would say, no turning back. No turning back. And when we were watching it on the TV, and we were listening to that brother share about what was happening in his country, I was really scared. And I was really, like, afraid. I didn't know if I could handle it. But when it came here and I was going through it, we had this incredible boldness and this courage, which gave me hope that even though it sounds scary to us now, when it happens, we'll be ready because we'll get prepared. We're going to be prepared. So it's super important to prepare for the end times because God is coming. Don't fight yourself. Just worry about getting close to God and he'll fight for you. It's different to ask God to fight for you. Remember, he didn't say anywhere in there, ask God to fight for you. That's not the way it works. You get close to God, he will fight for you. He's promised it. You don't have to ask him. He will do it. But you have to get close to him. Or else he's fighting over there and you're over here. He can't really help you. You need to get close to him. Okay? Fasting, prayer, reading the word of God every day, seeking God, spending time with him so that we can be prepared. And we will go with the Lord. Praise God. Let's stand up and pray.